This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
We're going to get to Fred Katz here in just a moment to talk Wizards and NBA with me. But just some news just dropped. The Commanders made their Saturday moves and announcements. And among them, Brian Robinson is officially out for Sunday's game. Not a surprise. He was a DNP in practice all week. He only played in the second half. Only played in the first half last week with his knee injury. So hopefully it's not too serious. But the Commanders did talk about sort of taking the bigger picture with him this week. So we'll discuss that after at the bottom of the hour. Fa Abada also activated, activated, which is a little surprising to me. But we'll talk about that as well. But we're going to talk some NBA right now. No better person to do that than the guy who got promoted appropriately to become a senior NBA writer for The Athletic. He was used to cover the Knicks and most, of course, importantly, covered the Washington Wizards. He is my colleague at The Athletic, Fred Katz, my guy. Appreciate the time. How are you? Happy Yom Kippur to you.
Happy Yom Kippur. I don't think you're supposed to say Happy Yom Kippur.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, well, I guess that's right. It's not exactly a happy day.
Exactly. I don't think it's happy, but it is Yom Kippur, and I'm happy to spend it with you. I'm my former podcast partner. I'm ready to go.
Absolutely. Look, we got a lot to discuss. You still, the biggest move of the recent NBA offseason took place with the Knicks, and I do want to ask you about that now that you've had some time to really reflect on that. But I do want to start here with the Wizards. I actually watched their preseason game last night, and a lot of kids, a lot of Kuzma, a lot of Poole. Not expecting a lot of wins because they're going to, sag for Cooper Flagg or whatever the kids are saying about that. But we can talk all we want about tanking and lottery picks and all that stuff, but it comes down to the execution of all this. And Michael Winger overseeing the whole thing with Will Dawkins at the GM spot. You've got some familiarity with these guys just from your years in the league. And ultimately, it's the big question is how are these guys doing? I think they're doing pretty good so far, but what's your view of them, how they've done so far, and how you think they're going to be as the guys who are in charge of this rebuild?
I think right now it's probably an incomplete, because the easy part of the rebuild is the teardown, right?
Right.
It's really easy to say, it's really easy to win trades and win moves when you're saying, you know what, our objective is to try to get worse. Our objective is to try to tear it down, and we're just going to put out a bunch of young guys and see what happens. I know there are a lot of people in that organization who specifically, Sar is the high pick, but I'll tell you what, there are a lot of people in that organization who are just bringing up Carrington out of nowhere and just talking that you don't understand how good this guy is going to be. And if either of those guys turns into a real, real player, then we're talking about, okay, you're doing well, because it's easy to get the draft picks. You have to make the draft picks, you have to develop the talent, you have to harvest the talent, and you have to create a culture. And I think right now it's a little bit early to see what it's going to be. Obviously, Winger is a guy who started with the Thunder. Well, Dawkins is a guy who started with the Thunder. They brought in Troy Weaver, who obviously they were connected with the Thunder. Brian Keefe was an assistant with the Thunder. And they're clearly trying to do kind of a Thunder East sort of thing. And You know, the Thunder are an extremely well-run organization. I think it's possible the Wizards get there, but it's just a little early to know exactly to give them some sort of grade on what the rebuild is at right now, you know?
Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, the teardown is the easy part, but sometimes it's like, okay, it's like if you look at the Sixers, right, they went through the process, and we all talked about that a lot, but then they fire Sam Hinkie, they bring in other people to then take over the picks that they inherited, and then that's kind of where it all fell apart to a degree. I mean, I say all fell apart, only in the extent that only Joel Embiid really emerged from that as a star, and that's kept him in the contender hunt, but the execution wasn't great, and that's where so much of this comes down to. Is there there are people who say, wait, don't assume they're going to tank this year. I mean, maybe Alex Saar is good. Fred, could you tell people that even if Alex Saar is good, this team isn't going to come close to making the playoffs, and that's they better not for multiple reasons?
They don't want to make the playoffs. They want to turn this into a completely development year. They want to be able to have a chance at the first pick. And what did you say? SAG for flag?
Yes, I believe that's what the kids are saying, right?
I like capture the flag. I think that's a pretty good one. I like wave the white flag. I think that's a pretty good one, too.
Yeah.
That's the one that Ian Begley has been saying at SNY. I like that one. That's what they want. That's their objective. They're going to play the young guys, develop the young guys. They're going to make sure they have the guys who they like locked up. For example, you know, Corey Kispert is eligible for an extension. I would expect something to get done with Kispert. He's a good player, Corey Kispert. Yes. Like I've watched their preseason games. I've always been a Kispert guy. He is a guy who just will help a winning team, not just because he's a shooter, but man, like that dude is so good off the ball. He's such a good cutter. It's not like they have young guys who make sense, who are pretty good. And those guys are going to play. But usually young guys are not guys who are going to win you a whole ton of games, especially when the organizational objective is let's think long-term about this, not short-term. Which, by the way, that's a change for the Wizards, right? Like, we're used to talking about this team as if, like, how can they get the 8th seed? And this is a change. This is they're thinking about the future instead of the 8th seed. This is what, you know, I think, you know, what a lot of fans were probably waiting on.
Oh, look, I can't even imagine how many hours I wasted yelling at you or just yelling into the void about, come on, stop with this whole we will never tank nonsense. You need to start over. But they finally did it. Kudos to them for doing that. And also, like, the Wizards still owe the Knicks a first-round pick. It's top 10 protected this year, top 8 next year. I think because of that, they are going to do whatever they have to do essentially to keep that pick, which means that's going past the 2026 draft before I think they even necessarily start putting pieces together to win. Maybe the young one of the two or young guys jump up so much they kind of force them into that. But if that's the case, if you agree with me that they're going to do what they can to keep that pick and only give the Knicks some seconds, what I've been saying 28, 28 or 29 is when maybe this thing turns into a contender. What would you, we can't say, we don't know who they're going to get, but is that sort of a fair timeline or do you think they might make a move earlier?
I think it's hard to predict because if you do it really well, it can be sooner. I mean, look what happened with the Thunder, right? Everyone thinks the Thunder tank took so long because the way that they set that up was just like, oh my goodness, they completely tore this down. Sam Presti, their team president, wrote an editorial in the local newspaper about like, you guys better realize this is what we're doing. Here's the plan and here's the vision and here's how it's going to happen. And we're going to have to put in time in the long term in order to see the benefits. And then 2 years later, they were pretty good and they were in the play-in. And then 3 years later, which was last season, they had the best record in the Western Conference. So sometimes it can go really fast. Other times you can try something like this and it never changes. The Orlando Magic, until, you know, last year when they finally got good, it felt like they were just in a perpetual tank and then tear down whatever the heck it was and then tank again and tear down Evan Fournier and Aaron Aflalo and so on and so forth. And they just continued that cycle for about 10 years post Dwight Howard until they finally got Paolo Banchero and they got Franz Wagner and they're a good team now. sometimes it can take forever. It really depends on who the young guys are that you draft and how you develop those young guys and the culture you create for those young guys. So we're going to see how Kyshawn George, and we're going to see how Bilal Coulibaly, and we're going to see how Carrington, and we're going to see how Sarr and Kispert, and how all of these guys develop. And the ones in the future, if they end up with a Cooper Flagg and he's just a total game changer. And remember, it's not just Cooper Flagg next year, right? Like, the top five is really good, really, really well looked at by the draft experts. I was talking to Sam Vecenie at one point, who is our draft guy at The Athletic. And in my opinion, and I don't just say this because he's my colleague, he is as good as anybody when it comes to evaluating draft talent. He's just fantastic. And he was telling me that he thinks that everybody in next year's top five, if they were in this year's draft, would have been number one over Zachary Richichet, who actually went number one. So people want to get high picks here. And if you can get the high pick and you can put together the talent, you can put together the culture. They've been super creative with contracts, by the way. Like the Vucevic signing, that signing happened for a trade, right? The Rashawn Holmes extension, that from a salary cap standpoint, very smart, very interesting. They added 1 year. He's making just barely below the mid-level exception, which is now used as a trade exception. They could trade him away very easily now because of the way they structured that contract. It was very interesting, very clever. First time under the CBA that a team has really done something like that. So they've gotten creative in ways that make you say, like, ooh, you know? And Michael Winger is known for his salary cap stuff, but you just don't know. You don't really know on a timeline for this stuff, you know?
Yeah, no, absolutely. We're talking with Fred Katz, senior NBA writer for The Athletic. One last question, then we'll get to broader NBA stuff, including what you thought now of the Karl Anthony Towns trade. But you mentioned possibly some trades down the line. They still have Kyle Kuzma. They still have Jordan Poole. Jonas Valanciunas they signed. You know, we can debate where Jordan Poole's at, but these are guys that could have value around the league. But simultaneously, you need some adults in the room to do the things, you know, help. They get Valanciunas to help with rebounding and interior defense. Kuzma can score. What's your sense of, like, or you talk to people around the league as well, what's your sense of what Washington is looking to do with those guys, and if there's possibly trades brewing, even if it's down the line but at the deadline?
I think a Valanciunas trade could absolutely happen. I think that contract was signed for them to be able to trade him. I would say that's absolutely on the table. If they get a good deal, a good offer for him, that's something they could do. And because of his salary, which is below the mid-level exception, which can now be used as a trade exception, which basically means, like, when two teams normally make a trade under normal circumstances, you have to come within a certain amount of money that you're sending out. Whereas if you have a trade exception, that means you can take the entire salary worth up to that trade exception's value without having to send money out. So the mid-level exception is a little under $13 million. I keep saying Vucevic because I'm thinking of Tristan Vucevic. Valanciunas makes less than that. So he's good in that. Someone like Kuzma, I think they would be very willing to trade Kyle Kuzma. Another thing that they did that was very clever for them was when they signed that Kuzma contract, it was a large amount of money, but that Kuzma contract gets better every single year because what they did was they made it descending and it gets smaller each season. So as that salary continues to get smaller and smaller in an environment where the salary cap is basically raising 10% every single year now because of all this money that's coming in from the new television deal, Kuzma's salary is becoming a disproportionately small amount of the salary cap as everyone else's salary raises, because normally you get annual raises. Kuzma's is declining. So that contract is getting better and better by the year. He's a good player. He's been a major contributor to championship teams. He can guard if you have him in a competitive environment. We've seen it. He can shoot. He can create off the dribble. Like, he's somebody who somebody will want. I would be surprised if he ended. I don't know if they're going to trade him this year, but I would be surprised if he finished that contract still on the Wizards. He's somebody I think they can move. And if they got a good offer for Jordan Poole, I think that's something that they would be willing to do also. But I don't think people around the league are dying to jump in on Jordan Poole's contract right now. It's still expensive, still has years left, and he's coming off of a season where he wasn't that great.
No diving into the pool. Got it. I think that's a very fair way to look at that one. Yeah, the Kuzma one's the interesting one for me because he's got good value, but on the other hand, you know, like I said, you can't just have the kids out there paddling upstream by themselves. You need to go to somebody. But we'll see. Maybe if some of these younger guys show they can handle it, it'll be maybe easier to move Kuzma if they want. All right, let's get to some broader NBA stuff. You, as I said, have covered the Knicks for the last few years and done a great job at that. They've just made a very fascinating trade, basically bringing in Karl Anthony Towns from Minnesota to become their primary interior player. Julius Randle goes to Minnesota with Dante DiVincenzo. Now that you've had time to assess it from the Knicks' perspective, there's not a lot of consensus, I didn't sense at least, with this from the Knicks' perspective, but I get kind of why. Where are you at now, and what do you think this move does for their chances this year?
I'm very conflicted about it for the Knicks. In some ways, I think about their starting unit, which is now Jalen Brunson, Josh Hart, Mikal Bridges, OG Anunoby, and Karl Anthony Towns. And I think about that first unit, and I think it should scare the energy out of every single defense in the league. I think that first unit really has a realistic chance of being the best offensive first unit in the NBA. You look at Brunson's ability to get buckets from anywhere. Hart's just unrelenting energy, offensive rebounding, cutting, screening. You got four guys who are just dynamite shooters, right? I mean, Bridges from the corners doesn't miss, and the wings is really good when he's catch and shoot. And Anunoby from the corners is like a 45% shooter from the corners. Karl Anthony Towns is the best shooting 7-footer ever. I am not going to disrespect Dirk and say I agree with him, but I also think he's good enough to where, like, I'm not offended by him believing that. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to call him cocky for believing that. I'm just going to call him confident for believing that, because the dude is an unbelievable shooter. They're going to have so much space. The two-man game with Towns and Brunson, I imagine, will be superb. And you got creation with Hart. You've got creation with Bridges. It is a absolutely dynamic offensive lineup. And defensively, you've got three wings in two of them who are all defense quality in Anunoby and Bridges. And Hart, who is often the best defensive wing in any lineup that he's playing and is now the third best defensive wing in that lineup, and they can switch a lot of stuff and get really interesting. That first unit is going to be really, really good. And then you look down the rest of the roster and things start to get a little shallow. And it's Miles McBride off the bench, who I think is really becoming a very quality reserve. Precious Achiuwa off the bench, who's a nice piece. But if they have an injury, someone like OG Anunoby gets hurt at some point every year. Cat has had injury problems the last few years. If they miss a couple guys, all of a sudden their depth is not what it was, especially with Mitchell Robinson still out. And I'm concerned about the depth. I'm curious about the defense, because they're betting basically that Tom Thibodeau is a great defensive coach and three excellent defensive wings is going to be enough to hold up a defense that has Towns on the back end and Brunson on the front end, neither of whom is elite in that level. And I'm curious about the long-term salary ramifications. You know, Cat makes a whole ton of money. You're not committed to this group. You're committed. And if it doesn't work, then you're really kind of realistically out of ways to make yourself better in anything that's not just marginal. You know what I mean? So I'm a little concerned, but I understand why they did it. I mean, Cat's a great player and phenomenal scorer.
Yeah, no, we're definitely in the era where teams are just saying, the heck with it. We're going to throw all these draft picks in, kind of go all in on some of these moves and hope it works itself out. And if not, I guess I think they can trade guys sort of the way the Nets did a couple of years ago with Durant and Kyrie and even Mikal Bridges here. Last question for you. I got about, I don't know, 90 seconds or so. I was going to ask you about some of the, like, who do you think might win the title or blah, blah, blah. Well, no, let's not do that. Let's focus in on the fact that you used to cover this team, and Bradley Beal is now with the Phoenix Suns, a team that, you know, you got Kevin Durant, you got Devin Booker, you know, that there's some hope, but The West is deep. These guys, you know, it didn't quite work last year. They get bounced in the first round of the playoffs. But at the same time, they still won a lot of games, and those guys were hurt. But the league, the fan base around the league as a whole, got to look at Bradley Beal. And boy, it did not go as well from a rep standpoint as I'm sure people would have liked. Where are you at with where Bradley Beal is at this point? Do you think the Suns have a realistic chance to actually, you know, get out of the West?
You know, I'm kind of in on the regular season Suns this year. They struggled last year because they turned the ball over too much. Their defensive rebounding wasn't great. They obviously had their stars in and out of the lineup. Beal was hurt for portions of the year. Durant was actually healthy. But, you know, they brought in Mike Budenholzer, who is – his teams don't turn it over, and his teams are always good on the defensive boards. I think those things are going to be cleaned up. I think they're going to play with more cohesion with Bud there. That's kind of what you do. And they brought in a couple of point guards, especially Tyus Jones. As Wizards fans know, he never turns the ball over. He knows how to run an offense. He can shoot. Going from no point guard to a guy like that, who is the ultimate game manager, I think is going to make a huge difference for them. I think that team is actually a lot better. I could see them winning 50-some-odd games. And you're right on Beal. Like, a lot of it is just going to come down to, can he consistently stay in the lineup? Because he actually had a fantastic ending of the season last year. He was great at the end of the year last year and was hitting every shot, shooting like 60% from the field over the last 20 games and 50 from three, and ended up with a really efficient season, but the impact just wasn't quite there. And you're right. You have to see more of that impact and that comfort of him with Durant and with Booker in order for that team to be like a title team and not just a team that wins 50-some-odd games and gets bounced in the first or second round.
All right. Unfortunately, I'm up against it, but I can't believe I didn't ask you about the incredibly awkward exchange yesterday on NBA TV between the guy used to be around here, Chris Miles, and Sam Mitchell. Well, I'll bring that up later. That was absolutely bizarre.
Television. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable.
Oh, my God. Unbelievable. All right. Fred, you rock at Fred Katz on X, Twitter. Go read him in The Athletic. He is one of the most creative writers out there, which is why The Athletic recognized that he needed to be beyond a beat. He's doing senior NBA coverage for The Athletic. So go read Fred. My guy, I appreciate it. Enjoy the rest of your day, even the parts we shouldn't say you should enjoy.
Exactly. Well, I'm always thrilled to come on with you, Ben.
Awesome.
Everybody listen to Ben. He's the best.
Oh, you're too kind. You're also lucky I didn't ask you about your Jets, but that's a whole other story.
Oh, I'm thrilled about that.
All right, man,
I don't associate with them anymore.
Yeah, I hear you.
I just
watch
from afar.
All right, man, I appreciate it. See ya. All right, that's great. Fred Katz, go again, check his workout on The Athletic. We'll talk, I don't know if we'll get into Wizard stuff later here, but, you know, there's a lot to get to. It's going to be, pack your patience, but I think they are at least heading in the right direction. We'll see how the execution ultimately works. A bunch of you are still on hold. I greatly appreciate that. We're going to get to your calls. We're going to talk about the Commanders, I assume, most of all, and we'll do that right next on 106.7 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things, like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
All right, welcome back to 106.7 The Fan. We're with you here until 6:45 when the Capitals broadcast takes over for opening night. Capitals Devils down in Chinatown. And we've been talking, we talked some Caps already. We talked some NBA just a minute ago. But we got to get into the Commanders more. We've talked a bit about them already. I gave you a Jaden Daniels comparison that had to do with the Wizards. I think somebody on hold wants to get into that. But Kevin in Arlington, you've been on the hold for a long time here. I really appreciate your patience. What do we want to talk about here?
Hey, Ben, thank you for taking my call, and thank you for the great work you're doing on The Athletic. And when you come on the Sheehan Show, I learned so much, so keep it up, buddy. That's what I wanted to say first. Secondly, and I'll just say this real quick, in terms of your John Wall comp, for me, Ben, that's more how I view Lamar Jackson. Super athlete, horsepower just to the max. But I view Jaden more like the guy who should have gone number one in his draft and didn't. I view him, I may be ahead of myself, I view him more like Michael Jordan. I truly do. His ability to do everything so well and so athletically, the fact that he's such a polished passer too, and I just don't think Lamar is. He's much better. He's terrific. Hey, he's on my fantasy team. He starts my team. I love Lamar Jackson, but I think the upside is just much higher with Jaden, and that's why I think the Wall comparison is better for Jackson, just in my opinion.
No, I hear you, and I think there is, like, to that point, like, the Jackson-Wall one is more of a direct comparison because, again, Lamar Jackson, is he definitely improved as a passer over time, and he's a more well-rounded quarterback, but the baseline of both of their games is athleticism, and the question for Lamar is he's had some injuries, but should there be a point where his speed declines a little bit, or he's not as willing to be as reckless and competitive with running the traffic, then what is he? Can he do enough as a passer? Whereas I think with Daniels, he can do that athletic running aspect, but also make the plays in the pocket. So should he get to a point where, you know, again, knock on wood,
right?
No injuries for Jaden Daniels. We're all enjoying this. Let's see where this goes. But yeah, I think he has that extra gear. I'll ask you this, Kevin. By the way, the Jordan comparison, love the optimism. I can't quite go there yet. He's got to play more than like a year.
Or
maybe five to get to that. But I like the optimism, and we haven't had that to discuss here in forever.
Hey, I had something I wanted to ask you that was why I originally called. Can I do it real quick?
Yeah, go for it.
So I'm reminded of Mark Rippon's start as a starter. Now, I'm not comparing Rippon to Daniels, but in his first four starts, he threw 12 touchdowns and only three picks. And we were all, you know, we were defending Super Bowl champions. We're like, hey, maybe, because Williams got banged up in September, so Mark got his chance finally, the sweater. Well, Doug said something going into that fifth game. He's like, well, you know, Lee's got four games of film on him now. We need to see, you know, if he can sustain it and what this will look like going forward. And at the time, I didn't really understand. That's the first time I'd ever really heard that. But you hear it all the time now. It's like, look, once the league gets a good look at someone, they can make adjustments. And I'm just wondering, did you think last week, even though Cleveland is not much of a team, the fact that Jaden wasn't quite his dominant self passing, was that just a one-game blip? Or are we potentially seeing people are figuring out some things he wants to do. They're taking it away, and he's going to have to develop his counterpunch. That's, to me, what I'm curious about for tomorrow, because if that's not applicable to Jaden, I like our chances to win in a shootout. Anyway, I just wanted to know what you think about that.
Yeah, Kevin, no, I appreciate the call. Look, I think, you know, as enjoyable as this start is, well, actually, let me go back to this. When we were talking to the coordinators back in training camp, or even further back to like OTAs, you know, when we were trying to ask specific questions about lineups and game plans, because we, you know, we're all in the dark to a degree, and they largely passed on giving us too much information. One, because coaches are very secretive, but also because they acknowledge that one of the big advantages they had going into the year is that nobody quite knew what they were doing. I mean, Cliff Kingsbury told us back, I don't remember if it was in February or May, somewhere in there, to say, yeah, I get why people want to associate me with the air raid, but that would be false in terms of what's actually going to do. And it's been the case. We've not, you know, it's been much more of a balanced attack than you would see with that offense that he played under Mike Leach and then ran it himself for a bit. And, you know, the more teams get a look at Jaden, the more they're going to have a feel for what he's going to do, what Cliff Kingsbury wants to run. I think the bigger adjustments will probably come in the offseason. It's just too complicated in the NFL, unless you're like Bill Belichick, to change everything on the fly every week. But yeah, this is part of the game. We see how the league adjusts to them, and then we see how they adjust back, and the game continues through the rest of hopefully a very long career. But yeah, it's a really great point for sure. All right, Rick in Mount Airy. I think Rick has... he's also been very patient. I appreciate that, Rick. I think Rick has something to say about that John Wall, Bradley Beal, Jaden Daniels thing I threw out there earlier. Rick, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Thank
you. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Hey, thanks for keeping me on hold. No problem. I appreciate y'all for taking my call. All right, so we're going to say, all right, we're going to have fun right now. All right, so Jaden Daniels is not John Wall. I'm going to tell you who John Wall is. John Wall is RG3 because not to bash anybody. I know all of these athletes put all of their stuff on the line and everything like that. Great athletes. You know, I couldn't do what they do in the pros in my dreams or whatever. But I would say RG3 is more like John Wall because the recklessness, not only the recklessness, but the speed and everything like that. And playing out of control, you know?
Yeah.
So I'll go with that. I'll go with that. All right, so we all Commanders, Skins fans. I'm going to say Chris Cooley is a Martian Gortat. The guy you would look at, think he ain't balling, but all of a sudden you look up and the stat line is like, this dude is balling.
Did I have on my bingo card? Did I have on my bingo card say that Martian Gortat would get a reference by somebody who wasn't me? I did not, but I love the I love the Polish hammer.
Yeah, me too. So I forget where the Utah hammer, the UTEP hammer. I don't know where Cooley is from. I'm not a college guy.
You see, he's a white.
And
he went to college at Utah State, but he's a Wyoming guy. Wyoming hammer.
So we just gonna call him the Wyoming hammer.
Very good.
Then we will, let's see, Bradley Beal. Bradley Beal to me is Taylor Heinicke, a guy who was the best baller on the league of on a team of players that was garbage.
Yeah, I hear you, Rick. I really appreciate the call and your patience. Thanks so much. I'll get to that. For people who missed it earlier, what I was saying about Jaden Daniels was not, I wasn't comparing him to either Wall or Beal. I was saying that as somebody who used to cover this team, that he's got the athleticism and the raw traits, the speed, all that that John Wall possessed. And we've seen that already with what Jaden Daniels can do with his legs. And it is more of a, if you're talking head-to-head, it's more of a Lamar Jackson comparison. I get that. What I was saying is that when you combine it with some of the traits of Bradley Beal, who entered the league with a lot of maturity, who had a real feel for the flow of the game, working off the ball, basically the combination of the two is where I think there's something to do with Jaden Daniels. Again, don't associate it with what they did with the Wizards and the Wizards. It's always negative if we do that. But that you have, that Jaden Daniels has the athleticism like Wall, but even should there become a point in his career down the line where some of that starts to fade, he has the pocket passing ability, the touch down the field. And that's where I think that I'm going with sort of the combination of those two guys. They were working well together, but individually, the flaws are kind of there. And unfortunately, we've sort of seen that play out a little bit, certainly in Wall's career once the injury struck, and then in Beal's situation, you know, feels like he's sort of gotten out of his lane a little bit. I'm hoping with the Suns, he can figure that out. All right, we still got some more calls on hold. You want me to? Okay, we'll take a break. We'll come back though. We got Shane in DC, Ray in Baltimore, talking Commanders Ravens here on 106.7 The Fan. Max has hit my sweet spot here. Little Nirvana to bring us in here. Getting close to the top of the hour here on 106.7 The Fan. Ben standing with you until about 6:45 when we turn it over to the Capitals. Opening night against the Devils. I've got a couple of people on hold. We'll take those calls. And if you want to call in, 800-636-1067, The Fan. I mentioned it earlier when the news broke that the Commanders have ruled Brian Robinson out for Sunday's game against the Ravens. Not a surprise. Again, he missed all this entire week of practice, nothing but DNPs. And last week, you know, I know the score was 24-3 at halftime, but to have him sit out the entire second half, that said something about his injury or their concern about it or how they wanted to, you know, rest him knowing there's a long way to go. 24-3, and obviously they kept it going, but, you know, if you've got a healthy team, Brian Robinson is definitely out there being the battering ram to close that game out, and he wasn't. So they've got Austin Ekeler, of course. They've got Jeremy McNichols. They elevated Chris Rodriguez off the practice squad. He'll give them that sort of between the tackles runner there. But, you know, it's a tough blow. Robinson's off to a really strong start this year. And to help Jaden Daniels with that, you know, balanced attack, having, you know, we talked earlier about the Polish hammer marching Gortat. Well, to have the Ashburn hammer and Brian Robinson is key. They also activated F.A. Obata off of the IR pup list. I'm not going to lie, I'm a little surprised by this. Not, but they opened up his practice window a week ago, so yeah, they had to at some point make the move, but I guess I just didn't quite sense that F.A. Obata was going to be back. Remember, he had a pretty significant leg injury last year. Kept him out of all of the offseason work. One reason they may be saying, hey, we want him up for this week, obviously they think he's healthy, but going against the Ravens, they may decide we want as many defensive linemen as we possibly can to help slow down Derrick Henry, so that could be that reason. Jordan McGee, who also had his practice window open, is out, which means they've got to activate him by next week. I thought there would be a chance he, in fact, would be up this week, but they've decided to wait there. Also, cornerback Kayvon Seymour was elevated from the practice squad for the second straight week. He was with the Ravens the past 3 years, so perhaps having him available on the field for game day will give them a little bit of insight in real time as to what is going on. All right, so again, if you want to call in, 800-636-1067, but we've got a couple of people on hold. Shane in D.C., let's go to you here first. What do you got for us?
Hey, look, first of all, the last caller compared him to Michael Jordan. Come on, we got to slow it down. What are we doing? And that's what I'm a Commanders fan, long-die Redskins fan, watch the football team. Look, that's us fans. We got to slow it down and bring it in a little bit. Is he having one of the best years right now as a rookie? Absolutely. But you got to give credit to Kingsbury. He's put him in the right position, and that running game has helped him out off of play action big time. So let's slow it down a little bit, Commander fans. I mean, I'm the biggest fan there is, but when you compare somebody to Michael Jordan, you got to get the trophies first before you start doing that, okay? We can't start giving out trophies before the season's halfway through. But he's having a hell of a year. But comparing to John Wall and all that, you know, he's it's a different sport, of course, but it's Daniels. And he's luckily, because he had a great coach at college, Brian Kelly, which I don't like. I'm a Tennessee Vol fan. Go Vols. But he had a great coach there, too. So it starts in college now. You start seeing these college quarterbacks coming out of college now that are ready for the NFL. Like, you now these rookie quarterbacks are kind of getting their feet wet. And they're starting to produce a little bit. I think I saw a stat where the first of the season, now they're 8-1 since then. So they got to adapt to the game. But there's going to be defenses that's going to challenge him. It's going to be ready for him. That's what their job is to do. But I think when you slow it down a little bit, I'm positive. I think we win the division for the first time, but I'm still worried about our defense. But, no, I think the John Wall comparison is about right. Athletic, this is if you don't have the injuries John Wall does. Let's just keep that curse off of him. But right now, the keys to the city right now. Just keep winning, baby. That's what you got to do. Just keep winning. And it's a coaching staff. This coaching staff just goes to show you how Ron Rivera's staff was absolutely had no idea what they were doing. Half their roster is completely gone. And it just goes to show you Ron Rivera did not know what he was doing here. And that's all I got to say.
Shane, I greatly appreciate the call and the passion there. Yes. Look, I don't really like – Jaden Daniels told us the other day he doesn't like these comparisons, and I'm largely in agreement with that. And like I said, I was doing more of like a stylistic kind of thing. But, yeah, even if we want to say there are certain comparisons with some of these current guys, we're not – no. Michael Jordan, the true GOATs, we had a long way to go before any of that. But, again, I appreciate the enthusiasm. I told Max when we first started – before we started the show today, I was like, I'm assuming not a ton of calls because in the past when I've done this, there hasn't been. He goes, oh, no. They're winning. People are excited and calling in, and you guys have shown that. So I appreciate the passion for sure. Ray in Baltimore, you've got some thoughts. Talk to me here. I'm guessing you want to talk Commanders and Ravens.
Of course. First off, man, excellent show. I've always listened to, you know, all the shows on this platform, on this station throughout the years. But these callers always have been some of the most delusional callers I've ever heard. I get enthusiasm. Trust me, I get it. But, you know, the level of I love Jaden Daniels. I think heck of a quarterback and all that. But as far as, like, the comparison at first between John Wall and Lamar Jackson, Lamar Jackson is one Lombardi away from going to the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Man, John Wall's never led the NBA in scoring. Lamar Jackson led the league in touchdown passes before when he won unanimous league MVP. And, you know, it's more than just Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson y'all got worried about Lamar. You got Isaiah Likely. You know what I mean? Ronnie Stanley's been playing at a Pro Bowl level. Tyler Lindenbaum is no joke. You also got Patrick Ricard. And last but certainly not least, Roquan Smith is going to have everyone there because he's been hearing those athletes are prideful people. They've been hearing about, oh, the defense this, the defense is that. It's a new scheme. It's the same personnel they were last year, no Mike McDonald. But bringing in Dean Pease, and I like Zach Gore, but to bring in Dean Pease to clean things up, people tend to forget that Kyle Hamilton is playing at a Pro Bowl level, Travis Jones is playing at a Pro Bowl level, Adafi Oweh is having the best year of his career, and Kyle Van Noy is playing above his age. So at the end of the day, I get the enthusiasm that is taking place amongst the fan base. But like the last caller said, let's calm down. At the end of the day, the Ravens are playing for Super Bowls. So this is why the fan base in Baltimore, I'm not going to say it in a dismissive way. They're laughing at the dismissive enthusiasm there because we heard this from a better quarterback fan base in Josh Allen. And look what happened to Josh Allen. We heard it from Cowboys fans with Dak Prescott. And both teams who were better than any opponent that Washington has faced this year, they got boat race. This is going to be
Hey, Ray, let me ask you.
Detroit Lions.
I hear you. That, Ray, Ray, let me ask you this question. Ray's gonna appreciate that. Appreciate the call and the passion there. Look, I'm with you. I haven't really got into my thoughts on what I think is going to happen for this game, but like I said earlier, though, to me, this is a game that's going to tell me if it is time to accept that this team is legitimately good. I'm not quite there yet. I'm there with Jaden Daniels. I'm not one for hyperbole. I'm not one to say just because somebody was drafted by the team that in my case you cover or that you watch that this is the guy. I can't stand the term franchise quarterback because people misuse that all the time just for anybody who was picked, say, in the first round. But there are times when somebody shows you, boy, barring the unforeseen, you know, an injury, alien abduction, whatever, that this thing is looking, it seems hard to think that this isn't going to work. With Daniels, I kind of there. But the overall team, a lot of questions still at cornerback. They have not played any opponent right now that you're thinking, boy, they're going to the playoffs. The one they did Tampa, they lost to. So I do think there's a lot of questions, no doubt. And the Ravens have been there, done that week for the Ravens. For the Commanders, individual players have had those moments, you know, Bobby Wagner and Zach Ertz and others. But for the team, this is the biggest game that they have had. Not biggest game like the Super Bowl, but I just mean this is a big test. The Commanders are saying, now we don't see this as a measuring stick game. They should think that way because that means we're not the little brother to the big brother. But for the rest of us, it is absolutely, I think, one to get a sense of where this group is at. All right, at the top of the hour, we're going to talk Ravens with Baltimore Sun reporter Childs Walker about that. So I'm looking at Max. Max is busy taking calls. Jimmy in Silver Spring is on hold. But we're going to take a break here. When we come back, Childs Walker from the Baltimore Sun, give us the Ravens look. We'll do that now here on 106.7 The Fan. All right, we are a quick one here. We're going to, top of the hour again, we'll talk with Ravens insider Childs Walker about this game. We'll take your calls after that at 800-636-1067. A lot of passion out there. Definitely appreciate it because the Commanders are giving us something interesting to talk about. We'll do that next at the top of the hour on 106.7 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com